Welcome into the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, November 10th, 2020 edition of the program. Well, it's Masters Week, even if it is in November, and it's always great to chat with our guy, the preeminent St. Louis golf insider, Dan Reardon, who joins me on the Chris Ramey Show. And Dan, it is November the 10th as we speak today. It is close to Thanksgiving, and the Masters is going to be a back-to-back major from now and then wrapping around until April. It feels strange, but it still feels good that it's Masters Week, isn't it?
Yeah, you said it correctly. It's Masters Week, but it's not Masters Month. And something I think is different that nobody is talking about in conjunction with this November date. You know, the whole golf world is built around the start of the golf season and the Masters. And so the PGA Tour structured their tour to sort of lead into the Masters and then go from there. There's no lead into the Masters. You know, there's been golf tournaments, but they're nondescript in this situation. So I don't think the energy for this year's Masters is anywhere near what it would be on a typical April Masters.
You think that'll change once we get into the tournament on Thursday, Dan?
I think to a certain extent. But, you know, I'm curious to see on the weekend, do they pull better ratings from their football package on CBS than they pull from their golf package on CBS? You know, for instance, last year, because of weather threatening, they moved the tee times up on Sunday. On Tiger 1, we finished at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This year, there's no weather situation, and they're finishing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they've got the NFL behind them. So I'm sure the enthusiasm will be there. I don't think it can match a traditional Masters.
Talking Masters and talking golf with Dan Reardon on the Chris Ramey Show, I wonder how much of it, Dan, just off the bat, is the intrigue for people that want to see what the golf course is going to look like in November.
You know, the look of the golf course will be different because the flowers will not be in bloom, and CBS is going to have to do some searching to find those cutaway shots. But having been there on Monday when the media sometimes has an opportunity to play, I can tell you the biggest difference at Augusta will be the absence of the color of the galleries. The greenness of that facility is so green that it just sort of overwhelms you. And so if you're at Augusta on a day when there's not a championship going on, it doesn't look like what you think it looks like.
You know, I wonder too, not only the visual aspects of it, Dan, but you've been there on Sundays. We hear about the Sunday roars, we hear them on television. But if you're not on the grounds, how can you explain to people how different it will be not having those roars on Sunday and having a golf course that is essentially empty?
Well, you know, for the players, they've done this enough now that it shouldn't be any surprise to them. I know going through the interviews, every player is being asked that same question about how to deal with the absence of atmosphere at Augusta this year. And it is true, Chris, and I learned very quickly. You know, I go back to a time when Palmer and Player and Nicklaus were still in the field. In fact, my first ever Masters was 86 when Nicklaus won. And you could literally tell the difference between a Nicklaus roar and a Palmer roar, or a Palmer roar and some other player on the course. You knew where they were on the course. You would hear the sound, and you knew what you were hearing. I don't think that's as typical today. The last player that generated that was the guy who won last year. There was and is a Tiger roar. I don't know that there's anybody else in the game now who generates that kind of unique roar.
We're talking Masters with Dan Reardon as we get set for the Masters to tee off here in just a couple of days, of course, on Thursday. they will get going. And let's talk a little bit about the field, Dan. And I know one of the most polarizing guys in golf has been Bryson DeChambeau. You have not been shy about your opinions. He is the betting favorite right now at 7.5 to 1. Apparently, in his practice round on Monday, the first hole, 445 yards, he had sand wedge in. Second hole, 578 yards, he had 8-iron in. And on the 350-yard third, he flew the green with a 3-wood. Do you buy into Bryson being able to change the way this golf course is played?
I buy into Bryson being able to put the ball in places on the golf course we've never seen before. It never came out in that list, and I read the same list, or saw the same answers you saw. You know what didn't come out in that?
What scores he made?
Yeah, and where was the ball that when it landed on the green?
He wasn't 300 through 3.
400 yards on one if you're on the wrong place on the green.
That's the thing, Dan. Like, the intricacies of this green, of these greens, I'm not sure those are talked about enough, because you're right. You can hit the green in two on a par five, but if you're on the wrong shelf, you might make par.
Or bogey. You know, the last time the U.S. Open was at Oakmont, I played there on Monday, and I had a caddy who was an Oakmont caddy, and he had worked at Augusta for about 5 or 6 years in the off season. And I asked him to compare the greens at Oakmont, which have the reputation for being the most intimidating greens in golf, to Augusta. I said, which is the fastest? And he said, first of all, I've never caddied during tournament week, so I have to qualify my answer. But he said, I will tell you this. Oakmont's greens are noticeably faster than Augusta's greens, but Augusta's greens are noticeably harder to putt than Oakmont's greens, because in a 30-foot putt, you can get grain growing two or three different directions before the ball gets to the hole.
So what
don't read greens at Augusta. You remember them.
Right. So are we making far too much out of Bryson's ability to change the length of his second shots and manipulate the golf course because of what he can do off the tee?
I think this will be a good test of that theory. You know, my criticism, not of Bryson, but of the U.S. Open, was I didn't understand why Wingfoot didn't have firm greens. You know, I'll grant you, he spread eagled the field, but he was coming out of the rough and landing on the greens, and the ball wasn't bouncing and rolling off. Typically, a U.S. Open green is going to be firm and fast. Now, they're going to have rain this week at Augusta, so that's the best circumstance that Bryson could possibly want. But I can guarantee you that sub air at Augusta is going to be cranking constantly, sucking water out of those greens, because they want a firm, fast setup no matter what they do.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dan. Explain to people who don't understand what the sub air system is and what that does for a course like Augusta, regardless of the time of year or regardless of the precipitation that we expect, because that is a system that is different than we see at a lot of other places.
We have it here in St. Louis at Belrive. I think it's the only course that has it. Basically, under every green at Augusta, they can turn on a vacuum system that will suck the water off of the greens, and you can hear it when you're on the golf course. You can hear it roaring through the drains as you walk around the golf course. So you could take, I've seen it demonstrated, you could take a 55-gallon drum of water on a green with the sub-air on, and you could dump that drum over, and that water will be gone in a minute's time. And at Augusta, as opposed to any place else that I'm aware of, they also have sub-air on some of the fairways.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable, like, how you can change the golf course based on the conditions you expect. And that's why I think a lot of people are saying that November, April, it doesn't matter. The golf course, you know, even if it is a little softer because of the rain, the greens especially are still going to play true.
Oh, the greens will be Augusta greens. I'll give you another little bit of insider information about this November date. I can tell you with a great deal of confidence that the club was more concerned about April than they were about November. They knew they could prepare this course for November because they had a growing season. What they didn't know and don't know is, having set this course up for November, can they turn it around and get it ready in the condition they want in April when they're going into the winter months. And Augusta is south, but not that far south. And so they do not have a growing season. And I know somebody who is well-connected to the club that said back in September, one of the discussions they were having is, do we dare jeopardize the April event to accommodate the November event? Obviously, we have the answer to that question.
How much of that do you think has to do with not having the volume of people walking the course and being on property that they would if it was a normal Masters?
No, this is related to this overseeding process.
Because they just overseeded, right?
Right. And the timing of the overseed, you know, it has a Bermuda base. In fact, if you see the comments from the players are concerned because the Bermuda was supposed to be dead by this time. And the Bermuda is growing at various places on the golf course. And so the players, particularly around the greens, are a little uncertain.
You're getting inconsistencies.
Because they've got ryegrass, and then they also have Bermuda grass, and two different playing circumstances.
Dan Reardon is with us. Dan, as we look at the next group of guys after Bryson, Dustin Johnson 9-1, John Rahm 10-1, Justin Thomas 11-1, Rory McIlroy 12-1, Xander Schauffele 14-1, Brooks Koepka 16-1. Does anyone in that group of six stand out? We've got a couple of guys, you know, that haven't played a ton, Dustin especially. We've got Brooks Koepka, who's had some injury concerns. We have, a handful, Rory, Justin, John Rahm, Xander, who have played very, very well at times. Does anyone from that group of six stand out to you?
I'll go against the grain and tell you that I've said for years, if he could find a week where 4 days they had rain at Augusta, Rory would complete the Grand Slam.
Wow.
Because Rory's liability is from the wedge into the green. And then on the greens, he can be good or he can be ordinary. He's never bad as a putter. But if he can get a little moderation out of a rainy week at Augusta, off the tee, he's not nearly as long as Bryson DeChambeau, but he's a ton straighter than Bryson is. And so if Rory could find the right setup there, but all those guys are good choices. You know, John Rahm is going to win a major, whether it's a Masters, I don't know. Dustin Johnson has been sort of jinxed at Augusta. Justin Thomas, it's hard to understand why he hasn't been very effective there. All those guys are reasonable. And then you throw in the Cantleys and the guys that are looking for the first major. I mean, I think it's a fun group to look at. And I hope that it holds up that way through the 4 days of the championship.
Dan, it's pretty amazing. As you mentioned, all the talk has been about Bryson and how far he's been driving the golf ball. Rory McIlroy, over the last year or two, has been driving the golf ball all around better than anyone on the planet consistently.
I agree with you on that. And by the way, you know, Chris, when we're talking about the Masters, we're not even talking about the defending champion who's won it five times.
Sure. Well, let's talk about him. Let's talk about him. Tiger Woods, right now, as he comes into this championship, is 33-1. We've seen him play just a very little bit. Similar, though, to last year as he came in. And how much do you put into course knowledge and experience, Dan, especially when things might be a little different for some players, conditions could be a little bit different? How much do you put into what a guy like Tiger has done and what he knows about this course and about what it takes to get around it?
You don't need my expertise. All you have to do is go back and look at his post-round interview on Sunday last year at Augusta. Tiger said, I didn't play the best. He said, I missed it in the right places. He knew where to miss. You know, when everybody on that back nine was charging and then fading, Tiger never took the backward step until the deal was sealed. So do I expect Tiger to win this tournament? You tell me what his back will feel like over 4 days, and I'll give you a more valid prediction. His back has not been good in both of the majors he's played in this year for at least one of the 4 days. And one other thing that I will say is that his legs are not the legs that he had when he won in many of his Masters, meaning he doesn't run anymore. And so I worry about if this course is soggy and he's walking those hills over 4 days, I think that wears on his mid-40s legs.
Can you put anyone else in that same mix, Dan, whether it be Patrick Reed or Bubba Watson or even Jordan Spieth, just people that, you know, guys that know where to miss in the right place, guys that maybe in Spieth's case haven't been at the same level as they were when they won at Augusta, but they get back onto property and things are just different. There's a little bit of that magic.
Well, I root for Jordan, but I don't think he's there at this point. I think Jordan has some serious hurdles to climb over the next several months going into next year. Patrick Reed is an interesting name because he's just sort of nasty enough to go out there and win a Masters and sort of look back at the people who were critical of him the last time he won the Masters and say, take that. The only thing that worries me about Reed is if you look at his record at Augusta, other than winning, he hasn't played particularly well there. And ironically, you know, he went to college there for a period of time.
Yeah, and certainly was met with plenty of controversy there. What about someone like Bubba Watson, Dan?
Well, you know, you have to say that when Bubba won the Masters two times, nobody expected him to do it either time. You know, the people thought that first Masters win was sort of a magical moment, and then he comes back a few later with nothing going on, and suddenly he's another Masters champion. So, but I think Bubba has had some issues this year with parts of his game. I know Bubba has struggled a little bit physically in the last couple of years. So it would be as surprising for him to win the Masters this year as it was the first two times.
Dan, I'll leave you with this. I was having this conversation with Dan McLaughlin last week because you have been so fortunate to have been to most of and some of, if not all, of the best golf venues in the world over the last handful of decades and have covered major championships. Augusta National, I know this year is different because of the fact that there are not patrons there and yada, yada, yada. But Augusta National, when you talk to people, is that the sporting event, the single sporting event that regardless of, you know, someone's willingness to pay a certain price, you can't buy tickets on the secondary market, you can't go onto StubHub. Is that when you talk to people, the single most coveted and hard to fulfill sports experience that there is right now on the planet on a year-to-year basis?
Yeah, I'd say it's the bucket list item for most people. And I'm not just saying golfers. And the other thing about the Masters, Chris, is it's the only place in major sports that hasn't caved completely to the almighty dollar. You will still see in November limited advertising on the CBS telecast. You will find nowhere on the grounds other than the one facility at Berkman's Place, no corporate hospitality. If there were patrons there, they could still have lunch for $6, $7. So it's that combination of tradition, a little sense of the game was once belonging to amateurs, and the fact that they haven't, like I said, caved into the dollar. I'm a little concerned that they're doing the football pregame show from the par 3 course. That reeks a little bit of exploitation on the part of Augusta. But it's Georgia, and football is king in Georgia, so I don't fault them that. But I think those elements come into it as much as anything else. I think the Masters is a unique event in today's world, and I hope it stays that way for a long, long time.
Yeah, I was mentioning to Dan last week, one of my best friends, his father is lucky enough to get into Berkman's Place, and I was trying to just explain what that is. It's almost like a secret society amongst the secret society.
With a high fence guarding it. If getting to the Masters is the hardest ticket in sports, getting in Berkman's Place takes it to the next level. And I've never been in there.
Well, me and you, Dan, someday. Someday. Dan Reardon.
Just have me as your guest.
Dan Reardon, who covers in how many, 35 Masters? How many Masters has it been for you, Dan?
This would be 34. April would be 35.
Wow.
If I can stay alive long enough, the target is to get to 40. Because if I get to 40, they put your picture on the wall and you're there at Augusta for the rest of time.
It's unbelievable. I have no doubt that you'll be there. And here's to, if not a different Masters weekend, a fantastic Masters weekend. We'll have to check in again this weekend, my friend. It's always great chatting with you, though. And before we let you go, give me your pick. I know it's not going to be Bryson, so I'll put you on the spot. Who do you got?
As I said, the player that jumps out at me, and it's sort of a wish list item, is I'd like to see Rory complete the slam.
All right. I like it. I think a lot of people will be there. And, man, for as well as he's played, I don't know if he's having enough attention paid to him, but maybe that's exactly what he needs to pull it off.
But whoever it is, you know, they have great champions every year at Augusta. So, it'll be okay.
Dan Reardon, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk this weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, a big thanks to Dan Reardon. Don't forget, we've got Masters coverage all week. Subscribe to Scoops with Danny Mac podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave a review, send me a screenshot, and we'll send you some Scoops with Danny Mac swag. Tomorrow, Rick Gammon from rickrungood.com as we continue our march towards Augusta. This has been the Tuesday, November 10th edition of the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with Danny Mac.com. Until tomorrow, be nice to each other, and as always, peace. Tell me you've ever seen. Fills the spaces up.